We are continuing our series of what we're calling The Journey. It's a walk into spiritual maturity, and I invite you to follow along as we hear the good news. I'm going to skip the first word here, beginning in verse 14. You must continue with the things you have learned and found convincing. You know who taught you. Since childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures that helped you to be wise in a way that leads to salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. And every Scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for showing mistakes and correcting, and the training character, so that the person who belongs to God can be equipped to do everything that is good. It's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Lord, as we worship you this morning, as we meditate on these passages, help us to know you and to see you more as we study your words. In Jesus' name, amen. On my first trip to the Holy Land, we traveled to Sinai, Egypt, and we spent the night there in a monastery at the base of Mount Sinai. And it was there outside that monastery that we saw the place that, according to legend, was where Moses encountered the burning bush. And the next morning, we got up really early, about 2:30 a.m. Anybody ready to do that? We got up early so that we could climb Mount Sinai and make it to the peak in time for sunrise, which was supposed to happen a little after 6 o'clock. Our guide led us outside of the monastery and outside of the grounds of the monastery, and outside waiting for us was a pack of Bedouins and their caravan of camels. Anybody ever ridden a camel before? It's a little different than a horse. We got on those camels and we rode them for several hours or a couple hours, going up the mountain until the granite mountain was too steep for the camels to traverse. And so from there we got off and we trekked the rest of the way. We hiked the rest of the way up the mountain on foot. And this is where I learned that Constantine's mother, Helena, became a devout Christian. And she traveled, she pilgrimaged to all these ancient sites, the historic Christian sites and ancient Jewish religious sites. And when she arrived at Sinai, she had the monastery built that we stayed. And then she had her soldiers etch in the granite mountainside steps all the way to the peak. I imagine that took a long time. But as we hiked up that mountainside, I took off like I was still 20 years old. Man, I'd always been in pretty good shape, pretty athletic. But for the past 3 years, my nose had been buried in seminary books. I've become a little lethargic. I put on 40 pounds. But my brain forgot about that. And as I went running up that mountain, I don't know how far I made it. But I finally had to stop because I was about to collapse. And I'm breathing hard, hardly catch my breath. And I felt like I was about to lose my breakfast. And this is in the winter, and it's cold that morning. And I take off my jacket and my cap and my scarf, and I lay face down on that cold granite. And it was so cold, but it felt so good. And I thought to myself, as I laid there, I'm going to enjoy everything that God has for me, I need to get into shape. Do you know our physical strength is not much different than our mental strength or even our spiritual strength? We must train them. We can train them to build them up. We can train them to maintain. Or we cannot train them. They will atrophy. They will shrink. They will grow weak or get weak. And in our scripture today, we have this encouraging letter on training oneself written to Timothy, but it now is encouraging us. See, Timothy was pastoring a church that he'd taken over from Paul, and he's serving the church. And serving the church is one of the greatest blessings. It's one of the greatest honors. Yet the work is never done. There's always more to do. And on top of all that, the church is full of imperfect people. I know, because I'm one. Even though we're trying our best, sometimes we do things, we say things, we get involved in stupid stuff, we make mistakes, we sin, we fail to love God wholly and love the people around us unconditionally. That makes us all hypocrites. Timothy was experiencing this struggle. It was stressing him out, and Paul looked at him like a son. He cared for him, and he wanted the best for him. So he reminds him of his training. See, Timothy knew the scriptures, which at the time were the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, the Psalms, and the prophets. Timothy knew all that. And even though he didn't have a New Testament because it hadn't been written yet, he knew about Jesus from what people who had seen Jesus had experienced and told. The stories of Jesus were shared mouth to mouth. I mean, they were told from one person to another. Word of mouth. Today we have the blessing of the New Testament. But Timothy was still grounded in the way that leads to salvation through his faith in Christ Jesus. And to strengthen himself, he's encouraged to keep studying, to remind yourself of the nature of God. Remind yourself of the goodness of God. Remind yourself of the promises of God, because this will help you focus and to follow Jesus. It will help you know what you need to do, what to teach, and it will equip you to do the good work that God has for you. This helped Timothy. He grew to become an exceptional follower of Christ. It helped him pastor the churches he led, and it helped him as the church grew and grew and grew. And the same thing works for us. See, studying scripture helps us to know about God. It helps us to see God around us. And it reminds us of the presence and the promises and equips us to do the good work that God has for us. Whether you study on your own or in a group, I encourage you to find a time and a place to study. Maybe it's at your breakfast table. Maybe it's in a life group or in a small group Bible study. Or maybe it's in Sunday school or whatever it is. All these different ways are beneficial. Find one that works for you and stick to it. Just like some people get in shape in different ways, maybe you walk or run or cycle, maybe you swim or lift weights or do CrossFit. Maybe you're doing something else like yoga or jiu-jitsu or taekwondo. But they all help you get into shape in different ways. And those ways work for you because they help you be strengthened and equipped to do your job, to get up and get out of bed every morning, to take care of your kids and your grandkids, and to burn off some of that nervous energy. Studying scripture is no different, except it trains our minds and our spirits. When I first went to seminary, it had been over 10 years since I'd been in college, and reading business emails and writing business letters and looking over technical manuals are a whole lot different than grad school reading and writing. And I can remember staying up night after night, and as I'm reading, all of a sudden I'd find myself waking up and it'd be 2 or 3 in the morning. At some point in time, I'd fallen asleep. And even on the days when I didn't have classes, I would be at home studying, and it was kind of like trying to take a drink from a fire hose. And I'd be at the table reading and taking notes and writing, and the next thing I know, I'm picking my head up off the table, and it's an hour later. What happened? I talked to one of my best friends about this who has his doctorate in education, and he reminded me that our brain is like a muscle. And mine was not used to doing so much work, and it needed rest. So my brain literally made me take breaks and rest until it was strong enough to do that hard work. Studying Scripture is a workout for our brain and our spirit that teaches us to see and to experience God, more of God throughout all of creation. It increases our ability to look for and see God in our life and all around us. The Bible, as we read it, we discover that it's full of promises of God's love and grace and presence. It's full of descriptions of God as creator, as healer, as provider, as comforter, as counselor, friend. Psalm 19 says it like this: Heaven is declaring God's glory. The sky is proclaiming His handiwork. One day gushes the news to the next, and one night informs another what needs to be known. Of course, there's no speech and no words. Their voices can't be heard. But their sounds extend throughout the world, and their words reach the ends of the earth. It's as if through the beauty and majesty of creation, God is saying, "Can you hear me now?" For example, can you hear God whispering love for you? That the word for spirit, as in the Holy Spirit, is the same word in both Greek and Hebrew for breath. It's also the same word for wind. What if when you hear the wind blowing, that you hear the breath of God around you? It's whispering, "I love you." And what if that reminded you that your breath was first breathed into you by God, and that even right now you're surrounded by the presence and the Spirit of God? And even though you cannot see the wind, you know it's there. You know where it's been. And even though you cannot see God, you know He's there. You know where He's been because He leaves a path of peace in a wake of healing love in your life. What if when you heard the thunder, it reminded you of God's power, that nothing in creation, nothing in heaven and earth, not even death, will separate you from God's love? What if when you watched a beautiful sunset at the lake or as it came down the mountains, you saw God winking, smiling, and then sending the stars and the moon up to remind you that God's light pierces even the darkest spaces? And what if when you saw the sunrise, it reminded you of resurrection, of heaven coming to earth, and that God's mercies are new every morning, that someday there will be no more pain and no more suffering and no more sorrows and no more tears, and everything will be made new? I know that's what I experience when I see the sunrise. That there are so many ways to see and experience God when we take the time to read and hear what God has inspired to be written for us to read and hear. By the way, when I got to the top of Mount Sinai, it was still dark. So we waited for the sunrise. And as the sun slowly peaked across that desert mountain range, we watched in awe. It was one of the most beautiful and powerful sunrises I have ever experienced. There's a picture of my friend Reagan and I on top of Mount Sinai, on the very tip peak. The sun's coming up. This reminds me like it was yesterday. I'm once again reminded of the glory of God. I invite you to make a commitment to yourself, to read your Bible every day. Read at least a chapter a day. And if you find yourself caught up and bogged down in names and ancestry and, you know, name after begat this, begat that, and all that history, or maybe some really weird poetry, then you're not ready for that. Skip over it. You can come back to it and read it later as you've built up your strength, and then you're made ready for those. If you're already reading a chapter a day, then I invite you to make a plan and read through at least a book a month. And if you're already doing that, then create a plan for yourself or for your family to read through the whole Bible in a year. You know, for most of us, if we spend an hour a day reading Scripture, we get through the whole Bible in 4 months. If you struggle to find motivation on your own, do it like I do when I work out. Find a group or a class to do it with. And it can be very rewarding to grow together in your faith. Either way, however you do it, spend time in Scripture together. Get a reading plan. Get an online devotional plan. Find a way to spend time getting to know and strengthening your relationship with God. Because knowing God better, experiencing God more, will make you better at life and make life better through Jesus Christ. Most of all, may each of us, may you and I take the time, strengthen our minds and our spirits, studying God, growing closer to God, and gaining the strength to do the good work that God has for us. Amen?